Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Only Podcast. I am your co-host, Austin Smith, joined as always by your other co-host, John Kirby. You can find us on Twitter at ACSmith06 and at John_Kirby. And as always, follow the mothership at The Only Colors. Today is Monday, March 16th, and I am not sure what to do.
This sucks. This is supposed to be the coolest podcast of the year.
This is literally our favorite one every single year. And it goes without saying that this is not a normal year. In case you've been, unless you're a cast member of the show Big Brother, there's literally no reason why you wouldn't know what's going on in the world right now.
Austin, I like the idea of us breaking the news to somebody via the podcast.
I'm just saying, like, maybe first of all, seek help. If you're learning this from us, you have so many more problems than we can possibly help to distract you from. But yeah, so we are coming to you from self-quarantine. John and I both have decided to not leave the home for, I don't know, the foreseeable future. And yeah, the coronavirus has run amok on the world. Obviously a very serious subject, and we don't want to get into too much of that, as we'll leave that to the professionals. But how it affects us directly, the sports world is completely on hold. Michigan State and, you know, their tournament runs ended before they began. The Big Ten and NCAA, among every other sporting body in the world, pretty much canceled or delayed, postponed, what have you, their seasons, tournaments, et cetera. So typically this podcast is us coming to you and talking about what seed Michigan State got and what the matchups could look like, our favorite sleepers and all that stuff. And instead, we're just going to talk about some other stuff, I guess.
But we are a solution-oriented podcast, Austin.
It's true.
We have a solution. We have at least a thing that we think you guys will want to do as you also self-quarantine. We're ready to roll it out every Monday night.
That is correct. We are going to be doing live stream rewatches of old, great Michigan State games, both football and basketball.
You vote on. You tell us which ones to watch.
Yes, we are going to be running a Twitter poll probably a couple of days before we do it, probably on a Friday before the following Monday. We'll try to do that from the Only Colors account. We're going to stream them hopefully on Mixer, so we'll give you guys more details as we learn them. But figured it's a cool way to keep some Michigan State sports in our lives and relive all the good moments and basically live the University of Michigan offseason where we simply never lose. So it's gonna be fun. So we're debating what to do with the first game. We'll throw a poll out there later this week after this has been posted, and we'll figure out something fun. So make sure to join us and all that good stuff.
You know where it starts is with whatever games are on YouTube. And
yes,
a friend, Diamonds Esquire, came through clutch for Spartan Nation and put every single MSU full game into a playlist. So that's awesome. At least something to do for you while you're quarantined. It's all in one place.
It's a beautiful thing. It's funny because, John, you and I had talked about this for, the last several days, which feels like, a couple of years in my mind. But we were talking about how we should do something like this. And we've actually batted this idea around for a long time with live games. Obviously, recorded games makes it a little easier legally. So we're going to try this out. And, you know, we hope you guys join us for some enjoyable old highlights. And you guys get to pick. So you really get to choose how dumb we get to sound. So pick old games, pick new games. We don't care. It'll be fun.
So you said the sports world stopped. Not completely, because there are some Spartans out there cashing checks. Jack Conklin just signed a 3-year, $42 million deal with the Browns, I believe, correct?
Yeah. Pay no attention to the team he signed with. But yes, Jack signed a fat deal. And actually, it's a phenomenal deal for both sides. Cleveland as everybody knows, had just a terrible offensive line last year, and it made them, I think, inarguably the biggest disappointment in the NFL. And Conklin is probably the best offensive lineman on the market. Gets to go to his, you know, just south of his home state of Michigan, so gets closer to home. It is Cleveland, but still, and, you know, kind of is going to be a bit of a folk hero there pretty soon. I just hope he doesn't get rid of his, you know, the thing that he would do with the Nashville Predators, where he would just chug beer and just wear the jersey, take the jersey off, and chug beer. I don't know what minor league hockey game he's going to have to go to, but I support his cause.
Beer chugging travels. I can tell you that from experience. Another guy with a major bag, Kirk Cousins, pulls in two more years for $66 million. Austin, this is elite level finessing.
He is no joke going to have a very real chance to earn the most money a quarterback has ever earned in the NFL. Like it's no joke. Like he has absolutely nailed the financial part of being in the NFL. Like it does not get better. It literally does not get better to get franchise tagged twice as a quarterback. He's making a top five average there. And then you get a 3-year completely guaranteed deal. This is completely unheard of. And now he turns around and is like, oh yeah, I'll just take a casual $66 million. Probably, I haven't seen the guarantees on it. I got to think a minimum of 40 of that is guaranteed, like a bare minimum, probably more than that. It's just stupid. Like, okay, we've watched Kirk Cousins. We know Kirk Cousins. We apologize for Kirk Cousins. How in the world is this happening?
It's pretty
great. I remember thinking Cousins was bad. I actively remember thinking he was bad at Michigan State. He obviously wasn't, but it's crazy to me that this is happening.
So we got to talk about, like, yeah, I mean, he's just been the perfectly timed and perfectly positioned guy. Because he's not bad, but he's certainly not good. But good enough to, in the time where the contracts are in place, to be so astronomical, he can make those moves and demand that kind of money. It's pretty awesome. And we need to talk about, you know, if he continues this rate, he's going to be on the Rushmore of finessing. I mean,
absolutely. Like, no, I'm trying to find how much money he's made in his career, because I think it's just probably astronomical. Oh, here we go. Career earnings. I just want to see if this is updated for today.
Probably not.
He has made so far. If you had to guess how much money he has made to date, what do you think it is?
Non-sponsored?
Yeah, just straight from the NFL.
Oh, boy.
Just contracts.
I have no idea. Just tell me.
$100.64
million. $164 million.
No, $100.64 million. I know it's the dumbest possible way I could have explained that, but it's $100 million basically. How much do you think, if he plays out this 3-year contract, he is going to make in the NFL?
Dude, I don't. He's going to make over $200 million. He's going to make $250 million being a dumb, bad quarterback.
He's going to make, in salary alone, $161 million. Total cash, he's going to make $196 million. And he's going to be 34. That just makes me personally very sad. But it also is remarkable. I mean, he is getting a $30 million signing bonus on this contract. I think this is the ultimate FU, though. He's getting a $500,000 workout bonus. He might just not go. And he might just be like, you know what? I'm good.
So here's a question. Kirk Cousins, well-known, all-around great guy, super Christian. You got to ask yourself, Kirk, is this wrong? Is what you're doing wrong? Do you know that this is wrong? And how do you feel about
it? I think that's the question. Do you know what it's wrong?
That's what I mean. Like, you're doing a bad thing. Like, it's inexcusable. So, do you, like, how do you feel about doing a bad thing. I don't care that you're doing it. Just as a Christian, like, do you feel good about yourself? And that's,
but I think the point is that you're doing it. Like, it's happening no matter what. But I think, you know, your question earlier was where, or the question you were going to ask is where does he, where is he on the all-time sports finessers?
We keep it
to the four American sports.
Yep. The GOAT, the all-timer, though, we know is Bobby Bonilla.
There's just no question.
It's in, no matter what Kirk does in his career, unless he could, like, pull off a bigger contract than his one before for 100, like, that's, I don't even know how you get on Bobby Bonilla's level, who will be paid out until 2035, I believe.
Something like that.
For, like, $11 million a year or something.
It's just, oh, God, I love it so much. Yeah, Bobby Bonilla is definitely the GOAT. I would say you brought this one up to me earlier with Chandler Parsons.
Oh, God.
He's worked his way into some bad ones, to some extremely lucrative deals for himself where he's lived up to, I don't know, none negative amounts this of the contract he signed.
Yeah, this dude signed a four-year, I think it's a $94 million contract. Like, and he is a second-round pick. He's technically the highest-paid player on the Hawks roster this season, but appeared in four games.
Here's a fun fact. He's on the Hawks. Wouldn't have known that. I had no idea. Oh, my God. That's
like being Trae Young, and you're like, I'm sorry, what? That guy doesn't even play.
What?
So he's up there. Who else?
I think Andrew Wiggins is right up there because the one he just signed was like 4 years, 122 or something stupid like that. There's also basically this whole wave when the NBA cap went up that 1 year, where these guys like Kent Bazemore signed a fat contract. But I think the one that's going to hit really close to home, it's going to hurt a lot of people, is Miguel Cabrera. Like, ooh. I think this is worth caveating, though, because it's not that he doesn't deserve the money, but like, if you're looking at what you've given since you've signed that huge deal, it's nothing. Like, he's going to be one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time. He already is. It's him and Pujols and, I don't know, like, Lou Whitaker.
Also a bad contract. Pujols.
Pujols is looking real bad right now. But Miggy's is sitting there. Maybe a better way to put Miggy's is it's a albatross. One of my favorite sports terms. Just a real albatross of a contract. You can't move it.
It's impossible. It's, is he good for 248 mil? I mean, come on.
What about, wait, what? Hold on. John Wall is also deserves some mention here because he signed a contract back, I think, a year ago. Yeah. He signed a four-year, $171 million contract. He signed that, promptly got hurt, and like has not played a game. And his base salary goes from $38 million to $41 million to $44 million to $47 million across the lifespan of this contract.
My king.
That dude. My absolute king. I stan a king. He is it's really pretty fantastic. Like, the thing is, too, like, I have nothing against these guys. Like, oh, my God, John Wall's made 100. Oh, here's a good one. John Wall has made $146 million so far
in his career
today. At the end of his contract, he will have made $279 million. Over a quarter of a million.
Has he even played in 279 games?
Who's to say, really?
My Lord. Well, congrats to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, that, I say all that to say this. Congratulations to Kirk Cousins on securing yet another lucrative bag.
All right, real question. Kirk Cousins going to have just monopoly money you know, Scrooge McDuck pool's worth of money after he's finished, right? Gotta think he runs for office, right?
Oh, listen, if Jesse the Body Ventura can be governor of Minnesota, Kirk Cousins can be governor of Minnesota.
See, I don't think they'll have him after he puts up another.
You don't think that would be where he would. You think he'd come back to Michigan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Michigan. I mean, you have the entire west side of the state. He would say, I am running, like that. Yeah. He'd finish that third word in the sentence, and they'd already have voted for him.
Yeah, he's good. He doesn't even need the money to, like, campaign. It's just that he has it, you know.
No, but he would just Mike Bloomberg the west side of Michigan and get every single vote.
I
think it's a good idea. Yeah, so let's do some sad stuff.
Okay,
let's talk about the fact that the men's basketball tournament, the NCAA tournament, is canceled. It's really sad. I look around and I think, you know, part of me thinks, like, I'm kind of trying to assess this from a bunch of different fan bases' points of view. Like, it sucks for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think there are a couple programs that it really sucks for. Like, and I kind of don't really necessarily put Michigan State on that list. Like,
no, we're not on that list.
I don't think we are at all. Like, John, I think you would agree with me. I think Michigan State could have made a deep run. I think it was very on the table for them to win the whole thing. Like, no question. But, you know, realistically, it would have taken something very special. And they were still developing things. Like, I think if you look at this year as opposed to, you know, 2 years ago when MSU went in as a 4 seed but had Jaren and Miles, or a 3 seed, I guess it was, with Jaren and Miles, I felt more confident about that team than I did about this team's long-term ability in the tournament. But I say that, but then I think about some of these other programs that, like, they got absolutely robbed. And I've got a couple off the top of my head that I think it hurts the most, but who do you think it hurts the most?
For me, I think Dayton.
Yeah, that was my number one.
They are legitimately a... This is the greatest team they've ever had and ever will have.
Oh, well, the player they've ever had and will have too.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, there's no, like, they wouldn't have cared if they even lost in the tournament, but just to never know would be damning. That's tough. I think they got to be up there with the most hurt by this. Got to, like, San Diego State too, probably, their best team.
I mean, I think them, San Diego State. I even think, despite the amount of times they've made deep runs, and, well, they really haven't, but the caliber of their program, I think this hurts Gonzaga, because I think Gonzaga had a very legitimate chance. The one that jumps out at me, and this won't surprise anybody who consistently listens to this, was Illinois. Like, not that they were going to make some deep run, but this was Brad Underwood's chance to be like, I got this school back. Like, we're in the tournament. We're there. We're doing this thing. And instead, you know, he can still sell a lot of that, but you don't get that. And, like, that sucks for Io DeSumo. That sucks for Kofi Coburn. Like, you're just not going to go. Like, I mean, could they both come back? Sure. But, I mean, I think the odds are that they won't. What about Rutgers? I mean, Rutgers was about to get into the tournament. Penn State, like,
The Big Ten has a lot.
It's just brutal. I mean, I think it's so I just feel so much for those kids. And I think that's the hardest part of this whole thing. Like, ultimately, when you zoom out and you look at it from a national perspective, it is 1000% the correct thing to do for our nation's safety and the health of the people in our country. Like, it's 100% the right thing to do. But, man, when you're willing to put on those sports goggles and just kind of look at it, I just feel so bad for them. And I do wonder, John, and I don't know if you've thought about this, but, like, do you think the NCAA should consider giving years of eligibility to kids that, you know, were affected by this?
It's tough because they got to play their whole season, you know, and so everyone got to, this is going to be a case by, they're going to have to make a uniform decision. And I'm going to bet that they say no. You know, the spring is different, where there was very few or zero games played. But most of these seniors, they did play a full season, the regular season anyway. So, you know, I would be shocked if they allowed every seniors back. And also, there's a trickle down on scholarships. You know, like, let's say basketball, for example, you have 13 guys on scholarship as a rule. Well, there are freshmen coming in next year. Do you have to change that rule? And, like, right. To what extent? Up to, in some cases, 18 on a team because you had five seniors? That, you know what I mean? Like, it gets really wonky. And I think, as crappy as it sounds, you just got to say, sorry, this just nobody wins here. But
right.
You got to go.
Yeah, I think it sucks. Like because I think you're right. From like an almost like an administrative perspective, it becomes a very difficult, like that's a borderline impossible thing to ask. But you know, it's just brutal. It just sucks for some of these kids that are seniors that don't, you know, might not. Like I mean, Cassius Winston. Like It's heartbreaking. Like. There will be, and I don't even think I personally haven't even thought of like the long-term ramifications or like what it does, but like he is one of the best players in our program's history, and he just didn't get to play in the tournament his senior year. Like, yeah. Honestly, he's kind of lucky that he even got to play the Big Ten championship. Like, it was looking at how quick, think about this. Mm-hmm. One week ago, you and I were sitting in your office conference room recording this podcast, talking about all the March stuff. And like COVID like was on the radar, obviously a major thing internationally, but think about what just happened in the last week.
Yeah.
It's insane. It is unprecedented. And I pray to God it never ever happens again. It's just crazy that it swooped in and in all of realistically like 48 hours, it turned the entire world on its head, and it turned this, you know, it forever altered the lives of like a lot of these kids.
Yeah, it's brutal, and like it's unprecedented, and like you said, I hope it never happens again. I mean, all we can do now is like we're about to do and take a look back at the season and, you know, watch old games and hope that eventually there are new games to be had this coming fall, maybe even summer for some professional leagues. Who knows?
Yeah.
But well, that's it.
Here's to make it kind of funny. What programs do you think benefited the most from this not happening?
Maybe program, or you mean coaches? There are a lot of coaches probably on hot seats that like, to that maybe we're going into their conference tournament needing to do something and we're bailed out by the unknown. I don't know.
I mean, how about North Carolina, for example, a program that was going to miss the tournament, was going to finish under 500, still finished under 500.
It still happened. I mean, they're still,
but they didn't lose a NCAA tournament streak.
Yeah, they did though. Like,
they didn't. Technically, they did not. I'm just saying, like, that's pretty dope for them. Purdue probably wasn't going to make the tournament. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world for some of these like lower. Like, I think of Florida. Like, Florida, one of the most biggest disappointments. Hey, it wasn't a tournament. What do you want me to do? I don't know. I'm just trying to. Yeah, Purdue for sure. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just weird times, but yeah, I guess we'll just kind of move on from there and talk through some funny stuff. But John, let's take a quick commercial break. What do you think the chances are we get this one right?
Not good. Let's try it.
Okay. All right. See you later. We're back. No clue if that worked.
Well, what did. Great. I want to run through some quick numbers here before we jump to a new addition to the pod, if that's okay.
Yes, please.
All right. So I want to celebrate the some of the seniors we mentioned, and maybe even Xavier Tillman, because they had some pretty incredible regular seasons. As you may know, Xavier Tillman finished number one all time in blocks at Michigan State with 153, putting him not just best in Michigan State all time, but with up to 36th all time in Big Ten history, which is pretty cool. Yeah. Then you have obviously Michigan State's point guard maestro Cassius Winston broke Mateen Cleave's Big Ten record for career assists and finished 16th all time. Who knows how much further he could have climbed with a few more games. Cassius also finished fifth all-time in Michigan State history with 259 three-pointers made behind Sean Respert, Chris Hill, Drew Neitzel, and Denzel Valentine, which was a bit surprising to me that Denzel was fourth with 265. Did that surprise you?
A little bit that he's ahead of Cassius, but I think, you know, it's kind of funny. I've been thinking about that a little bit recently of in some of the questions that we'll get to. Ranking all-time MSU players. I forgot how, like, it's crazy how many good Michigan State guards specifically there have been, because you lose a guy like Denzel Valentine, National Player of the Year, like the best player in the country. You just lose him in the wash sometimes when it comes to these guys. So it, at first blush, yes, that surprises me, but like when I think about it, no, he was so good. And that team, you know, talk about a tough, I'll say this. I'd rather have no tournament than lose to Middle Tennessee State again.
Fair. So that seems
That's my take.
So Cassius, fifth all-time in three-pointers made, but maybe more impressively, second all-time in three-point shooting in the Big Ten Conference history.
That's amazing.
Which, which at a clip of – pulling it up. At a clip of 43.02%, that's pretty incredible. And so that list is minimum 200 three-pointers and 2.3-pointers made per game. That's an amazing list. And to be second all-time in Big Ten history, only to Sean Respert, by the way, is an incredible thing. 58th best three-point shooter in NCAA history. I mean, what's there? I mean, that's incredible. The 58th best shooter in the sport all time. We got to watch every game.
That is absolutely unbelievable.
And by the way, he wasn't just a 3-point shooter like many of the people that were are in front of him. Like, he's the best assist man of all time. Like, that's, it's hard to kind of extrapolate how incredible his numbers were.
He's truly one of the best to ever do it. And it's really tragic that he wasn't able to cap it off with the hopefully long run. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, I'm glad he got to go out a champion, and his numbers truly are like they're all-time numbers.
Sixth all-time in points at Michigan State history behind Respert, Steve Smith, Scott Skiles, Greg Kelser, and Kalen Lucas. Ahead of such names as Jay and Sam Vincent. Like, this dude almost said 2,000 points and probably would have easily done it if he had just had one or at least two games. Kind of sad. He, as far as rebounds go, Xavier, in only 31 games, put up the seventh most rebounds for a Michigan State player in season history. just to play it out, if he had played even one more game, he would have been sixth. And if he would have played approximately three more games, he would have passed Kenny Goins for fifth all time. And if he had played a 39 game season, so if he had gotten to the Final Four and also gotten to the championship game of the Big Ten tournament, he probably would have set the season record for Draymond Green's 394 rebounds. So Xavier finished here with 320.
I think you skipped over kind of a big one, the fact that Kenny Goins was fifth on that list?
Yeah, fifth.
That's outrageous.
Season total, yeah, last year. You know, and until Xavier stepped in at the beginning of the year, like, Kenny was averaging just on about 9 rebounds a game. Like, that's as a non-true center. You know, that is a power forward that, talk about, grew up in front of our eyes. So, pretty incredible. But Xavier, yeah, more rebounds than names like, in a season, than names like Horace Walker, Brandon Dawson, Antonio Smith. I mean, incredible numbers. And again, only played 31 games. So, 696 for his career. Not quite tapping into the top 10. We'll never have known, but tough way to, you just wish you could see it finish out. So those are my updates by numbers. If you have any questions or want to me to dig in any more, let me know. I can let you know where maybe things could have played out, or if you have any other questions, I'm happy to always look up that stuff. So always at me. We'll figure it out. Austin, we were floated a new idea. Coming off the heels of the success of the hashtag Goodness Matrix, a new chart we're introducing today.
Indeed. We have, you know, we love things like matrixes, charts, and all of those good things. We're introducing an index to the equation. Mm-hmm. And this is what we're calling the Coach Likeability Index. Mm-hmm. Now, this is fluctuating because, coaches will do dumb things, say dumb things, mm-hmm, quit, get fired, retire, etc., be hired, all of those good things. And basically what we wanted to do was describe the Big Ten basketball coaches on a chart or on an index that tells you kind of and compare them to coworkers that you'd see around the office. So imagine these 14 men, they're all in an office together, and you also work with them. You are the 15th employee at this office. Mm-hmm. Here is how we think you would, or how we personally would interact with and enjoy, or not enjoy at all, these men's company.
Let's start.
Do we want to start at the good or the bad?
Let's start good.
Okay. So I think we kind of agreed that, you know, when you're developing a work, call it a relationship, when you have to see these people every single day, there are people that you meet and you enjoy that you're like, you know what? I'd invite that guy to a party. I'd invite him. I'd invite her to a party. And maybe there is a friendship outside of work. We have found exactly one man, mm-hmm, one coach that we thought fell into that bracket, and that was Fred Hoiberg.
The mayor. Yeah. I'd have a beer with the mayor.
Listen, if you have a nickname, the mayor, people like you.
Yeah, he just seems like a guy that, you know, has some cool stories, not too into himself. You could see he also hates the same people you hate. So you immediately like him because of that. Without even saying anything, you can kind of just vibe. So, yeah, I think we're confident he's probably the only one that would be a friend. And I guess an honorable mention, invite to a party for a kind of a different reason, just because he's so likable in a different way, is one Tim Miles.
Tim Miles is like the guy who leaves the company, but you invite to the party anyway, because, mm-hmm, you just really liked him when you worked with him. Like, Tim was a great guy, but let's bring Tim. Like, you're doing Tim, the company happy hour. It's like, get Tim on the phone.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tim rolls in.
He's not doing anything.
Right. He's been let go. But, you know,
Tim did not leave on his own accord.
No, Tim was objective bad at his job.
He was showing the door.
Tim was bad at his job, but it doesn't mean we didn't like it.
Tim was tweeting during meetings.
Well, whom's among us, man? Let's not.
I am not one to throw stones. However, I don't get caught.
It's true.
He sort of put it out there.
He did. All right. So basically, the Nebraska head coaches are invited to the party.
Nebraska ball is welcome to the party.
So next category, we got three guys in it. Chris Collins, Steve Pickheel, and Pat Chambers. New category. This is the how you doing guy. Small talk guy.
The small talker. You know, the person that when you're – maybe you walk in the front door, work at the same time, you ride the elevator. You got a couple common interests. You start, mm-hmm, talking about, in normal times, the game last night. Mm-hmm. Did you see that dude almost fall over on the sidewalk? boy, it's cloudy today. Those general stuff you hit on kind of, and then you find out like, oh, maybe you've got, you both kind of listen to the same music or you both watch that TV show. There's a lot of talks about TV shows going on. Like, what are you watching?
Not a forced relationship. Like, it never feels forced to have this small talk. There are certainly people where you loathe having the small talk with. These guys, you're just kind of like, you know, we're both here. We got to do a job and, you know, we'll knock it out. Let's get through this. They seem fine.
Yeah, you seem like a cool guy. Like, they're nice dudes. Like, when you talk to other people that you work with, your friends, you go get that beer with Fred, and you're like, Pat's not a bad dude.
Yeah, no one's ever said anything bad about these guys, but you're not necessarily going out of your way to, like, hang out with them.
Right, exactly.
All right, new category?
Our next one is the guy who's just too into it, the company morale guy, who is, you know, you put out that, you put the manifesto on the wall that says, you know, all of the buzzwords and things. And then this dude just lives it and breathes it and brings way too much energy to stuff that people just don't want to buy into. Like all the corny lines, all the coach speak. This guy is just he's given it a little too much. Maybe having too many drinks at the company happy hour.
So Juwan Howard, Brad Underwood, and Chris Holtman are all definitely too into it guy. They're compensating for something. Either they're not that good at their job or they're really good at their job and they want you to know that they're good at their job. The guys that, like, to your point about, like, the manifestos and stuff, no one asked them to do it, but they're printing it, putting it at their cubicle. Like, no one, like, I don't know, to show off that they care, but it's just, like, a little too much energy, especially at 9:30 in the morning. Like, calm down, man.
This is the dude. You know what these three guys are? They're the we don't drink coffee guys.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so much energy where it's like, no, I don't drink coffee. I don't really feel like I need it. You know, I'm here. I'm doing my thing. I'm like, buddy, we're going to have to tone it down. This is still work.
Yeah. These guys, very, very high percentage chance that they have stand up desks. And they're proud of it, and they often try and work it into conversations where it doesn't fit. So
no question, they've got the stand-up desk. These guys bike into work, like in the full spandex gear.
They graduated to stand-up desk. It used to be sit on medicine or sit on bouncy guy.
Just gonna say that.
They evolved into stand-up desk guy. And
They might even be like, these are the guys that talk too loudly into their phone. Mm. Like the phones that the AirPods are in, and they're just screaming at the phone. Like letting people know, hey guys, business is getting done.
These are also the guys that when they roll into work, they'll have their headphones in and they'll like kind of be like fist pumping or jamming, almost wanting you or anyone to ask them like what they're listening to. But you'll never do them that service because, honestly, these guys kind of suck.
Oh, yeah. They want to know. And then when you ask them, they're like, oh, this is Dave Matthews. Like, remember when he played, like, The Gorge and all? Like, it's like a little – because you know it's going to be a deep cut. And you know you're not going to know what he's talking about. Yeah. They're just looking for conversation. These dudes, their eyes are darting across the room at all times.
These are the guys that also want to be included at the parties, but they've never once been invited to said party.
Like you have the company outing at like at an arcade or like you know what I mean? Like a place with some games and stuff. And they are just lighting up the Papa Shot, like like, you know, it's like a fun, friendly thing. Like, hey, everybody play a game. And this dude's just roasting people and having the best time. Just way too into it.
And it's not even like from a fun perspective where like, man, he's really good. This is cool. It's like, this is uncomfortable. You like practice.
Yeah, you're sweating a lot.
But we don't hate these guys as much as we hate the next category.
Oh, God. I mean, at least with high energy guy, which is basically who we were just talking about. Like, if you get caught in a conversation, you come back to work. You got something.
Mm-hmm.
These next two, I'm just... I rush to leave. Like, let's just say, I think the best way to do it is, like, you're at the sink, you're in the break room, you're cleaning off a plate, but you also just put your lunch into the microwave. You hit that button, and then the guy comes around the corner. You hit that button, you go back to your desk, and you eat your frozen food cold, because that's what you want to speak to this person. I've eaten cold soups many times because of these people, and they are Mark Turgeon and Greg Gard.
These guys, to Austin's point about literally choosing to put yourself through something bad just so you don't have to deal with them, that's Mark Turgeon and Greg Gard. Like,
I think they're on such opposite ends of the spectrum too. Like, I feel like Greg Gard's the type of guy who will walk into a room and, like, most people, if your head's down, they might get the message. Or if you have headphones in or something, Greg Gard is staring a hole in the side of your head. He's just right at you. No matter, you bend into the refrigerator to go take something out, and then you close the refrigerator, and you're standing right on the other side, staring you dead in the eye. Like, that's who I think Greg Gard is.
Also, guys that you go out of your way to not walk into the bathroom at the same time with. and also, if you are at the urinal already, guys that'll walk up and, to your point, probably be staring at the side of your head for some weird reason.
If you're lucky, side of your head. They're talkers too. He's maybe he's like a really heavy breather.
But not even so. At least high energy guy talks about maybe stuff that, like, could be of interest. You're just annoyed by it. The guy. These guys are talking about stuff that kind of make you uncomfortable. Like, no, I didn't watch that serial killer doc and how it inspired. Like, I don't want to talk about that.
I didn't listen to the police blotter on my way into work. What are you talking about?
I missed that. No. And
No, that's that's a nice knife, but why'd you bring it? Like, you know what? I feel like Greg Gard's that guy. Like, and then I think Mark Turgeon is the like farts at the urinal guy. Oh. Where he just gives so little of a shit that he's just like just does not care, is an asshole, is always complaining. Like, you can't have a conversation with him without him being like, you get a load of this shit. You see this new guy we hired? What a joke. Oh, this guy opened he opened the cab door on the wrong side this morning getting out, and I was just, oh my God, I wanted to kill him. Like, he's that type of complainer. It's like he hates his kids, the worst.
So he hates his coworkers, but actually somehow hates his family more. So he comes to work, and that's the best part of his day, which is so, because you're super uncomfortable around him, but you are the best part of his day, which is like a hard thing to get through your head.
Yeah, and then when he's asked to speak, he's like, you know, everybody here just works really hard. I love these people, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, did Mark really say that? This guy's crazy. You get two drinks in him and he's just the biggest softy in the world. But you're like, all right, this is uncomfortable for me. This is uncomfortable for everyone.
Yeah, and Greg Gard's the guy that there's breaking news and you guys are all like kind of whispering about it together. And he'll come in and be like, if I were the serial killer, I would have done it this way. And you're like, what? How is that additive?
He's like, well, he was really close to getting away with it. That's his his favorite line.
Well, I guess we all learned something today, didn't we?
We all learned something. Zip ties, they're important. You have to use them. Like,
Greg.
Greg, what's going on?
You want to move on to the next category? Yeah. It's Archie Miller and Lil Patino are both the junior members, and then Painter is a more senior member of the same category of what do you do here?
These guys are the same and they're not. Like, Painter is the dude, like, Painter is the manager of the department that these three guys work in. Mm-hmm. Like, they all work together, and you look at them. And throughout the course of the day, you know, I feel like Matt Painter could just be staring directly at a wall.
So like Matt,
just looking at a wall all day. And Matt when he's Painter, asked,
oh yeah, Painter's definitely been walked in on in his office doing some questionable things. And
his staring at a wall.
Staring at a wall is like the least questionable thing he's done.
He broke a laptop screen once because he slammed it shut so hard.
But yeah, Painter, we're not really sure what he's doing here. He's also been here so long that like no one can question him because he has seniority.
Like these three guys are openly bad at their job.
Oh yeah, like, that's not a question for sure.
But somehow it's a very blind leading the blind scenario. And like you it's funny because Archie Miller was the dude that got hired and you're like, oh, he's going to end up running this someday. Like he's brought into the big position at your company. Like he's just waiting to take this job over from Painter. Turns out he's hilariously inept. Knows nothing.
And where Archie came from and his little firm that we picked him up from got exponentially better immediately when he left. In fact, the best they've ever done.
Record profits the next year. And then
Patino, we know why we hired him. Nepotism, you know.
But one of his dad's on the board.
It's, yeah.
His dad's on the board. And his dad, not the best guy. But, you know, we got to keep him around. He's not going away on his own. And he will lie. He has been the reason seven other board members have left. We'll put it
and
that way.
Also the thing that gets us, like, as the colleagues at this office, what makes us pissed off is we fired one of our favorite dudes, Tim Miles, who was just as inept as these guys. Right. But, like, at least he was likable. Like, why did we have to let him go?
We let Tubby go.
Why?
Listen, we thought Tom Crean left because he realized how inept Painter was. And then Tubby walked. Tubby was getting old, ready to retire, but we pushed him out the door to bring in the guy from the board's son. And it just doesn't sit right with anybody. So, you know, you look at this little fiefdom, this little department, and it just begs the question, you know, what's going on? Like, there are operations. These three guys are in operations and nothing goes right. Your sales force is a mess. No one's saying the same thing on their sales calls. Operationally, you're a disaster. And then you look at Matt Painter and he just stares back at you with those cold, dead eyes. And the other two just kind of keep walking in circles.
These guys, anything they've done right was by accident. It was a mistake.
The thing is, I think what they probably did is they're like, we're going to fix this problem. And they put something into place that looked like it was a great fix. And 6 months later, it turned out like, oh, you made this so much worse. Our processes are now a disaster.
Well, and the worst part is our company continues to give them resources more than any other. It's upsetting.
Give them money. Matt needs money. He said he needs money. Give it to him.
And then our final two, there have been times, you weren't proud of them, but where maybe not in the office, but outside of the office, you've played out conversations in your head of what you would say and do if you saw this person on the wrong day. And this is the considering an actual fight category, which lives Tom Izzo and Fran McCaffrey. Hands on site on the wrong night.
And the thing is, these guys are the dudes that just outrank you by so much. Like, this is your CEO, CMO type of caliber of employee. And they're just assholes. Like, during the meetings, they are berating you and taking all the credit for your accomplishments. Well, maybe not that. Maybe just on Fran's case. Fran's like, do better. Don't be an idiot. I did all the work.
Well, and then also
Tom will shout you out, though.
Yeah. So Fran blames everyone else for his problems. Like, it's never once been. He's also never been happy his entire life, and he's yet to look in the mirror and realize he's the thing that's wrong. But
he hates his family, and yet both of his kids are interns.
And they hate being there. No one's happy right now. Tom might actually have a clue, but it's just so taxing. Like, it's emotionally taxing to be around him at all times. It's exhausting.
Tom is just exasperated because he's got to lead this crew of idiots. I mean, think about the people that we've just described as being his coworkers. He sees Patino, Painter, and Miller, quote unquote, working, and just wants to. He just wants to punch them all in the face.
And the guys that he should like, the two Intuit guys, are just obnoxious. Like, there's very little good going on. He's only got a handful of dudes here in Chambers, Picciel, Collins, and Hoiberg that he are actually, like, passable. And Collins thinks he's smarter than he is. He's just not actually very good at his job either, to be honest.
The irony is that the four guys he could actually like all work on the most inconsequential shit. Like, it's Penn State, Rutgers, Northwestern, and Nebraska are the four dudes he kind of likes.
God.
There's no influence there.
No wonder he's pissed all the time.
There's no influence whatsoever. He's got the little, I just love the trio of Painter, Patino, and Miller, just idiots. And then he's got the three absolute, just like, way over the moon, Howard, Underwood, and Holtman. And then he's got four reasonable dudes. And then he's got Fran, who I think he probably hates more than anybody else. I think those two probably just hate each other.
Well, so the problem with Tom is, you know, like, you want to fight him, but he's not mad at you. He's mad at everything, and you just happen to be there.
You were in the way.
Yeah, you just were there at the wrong time. Fran's actually mad at you, but not because he knows you. He just hates himself. He just hates everything about himself, and he projects so hard. So
he is the projector. He is truly the projector. Oh, my God. So that's it, guys. That's your Big Ten college basketball coaches as coworkers, also known as the Coach Likeability Index. And I think we need to do more of these because I have so much fun whenever we do this.
We'll do it for the football guys next.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely do it for the football guys. I can't wait to talk about Tom Allen. It's going to be great. And the visual of, like, I'm thinking of Tom Allen and PJ Fleck in an office somewhere together. I think they're, and this is as far as we'll go because I want to save this, but I think they're both in the same room staring right at each other, and they're both talking, and they're both just, like, neither of them are, they're talking to each other, but they're just both saying words at the same time.
Tom Allen is the guy that you never learned his name for, like, five straight years of working at the same place.
But you gave him a wave every time, right?
You should know it, but you're like, is it Tim?
Tim?
And then you, like, try and remind yourself. You're like, I promised myself I know this, but now I can't remember if it was supposed to be Tom.
This was on my to-do list, and I'll tell you what, for the fifth straight year, I just forgot.
And / don't care, because he's just kind of not consequential.
It also just doesn't matter. Like, Tim, Tom, Alan, Aaron, who cares?
Who gives a shit?
Good to see you. All right. Well, that was great. All right. So did we want to finish off I think we should only do like two of these questions because this is good material for the slow time. But
here's what I want to do with these questions. I want to sprinkle them in when we watch our live recorded games.
Yeah, exactly.
We can sprinkle these in.
So which one do I think we should do one then? Give the people a little taste.
Okay. You pick.
Oh boy. Okay. This is a really good one. Okay, we'll do this. Favorite MSU football tradition.
Okay. I would say, I don't know if they're going to keep doing it. I do like when they walk across the field, but then it became a whole to-do, so that wasn't cool anymore. What about you?
I think mine is probably still 1-2-3 first down, bitch.
Oh, I have one. No. Never losing to Rutger. That's a good
one. You know what? That's easily the best one. I retract my statement and discourage everyone from saying that. They were saying which the whole time. I think that's never losing to Rutgers is definitely a great one. But aside from that, oh, and doing the, I think the other one is Spartans, what is your profession? I think that's another great one. Here's one thing, though. They should really bring back the, like, the Trojan horse thing, where they have the guy in the old Greek thing, like, behind the, what I'm assuming it's a horse. I couldn't be more on board for that. Yeah. One, it's so cool. And we need to get more of the Greek, like, piping back, like they had on the old Michigan State jerseys, because I forgot how damn cool that looks on jerseys, and on football would be so cool. And two, the Sooner Schooner possibility.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we might get to have one of those.
Here for it.
Yeah.
Anytime a carriage can fall over, I'm here for it. You know what else I like? I like when the band has all the carries all the Big Ten flags on the field, and then there's like the sword fighting of the flags of whoever we're playing. I like that.
How about Zeke?
Okay. That was, without saying, the single best tradition. Not fair. Although I saw today, did you see King Julian on Mel Tucker's Twitter feed? Yeah, Mel's watching tape with his dog Julian, who he calls King Julian. And he told us to wash our hands. Dude, there's a lot going on in this tweet.
I love Mel Tucker so much. Like, we're barely even into the Mel Tucker era, and I really love him so much. He's delightfully, like, a little weird. I really like it.
Can I explain this tweet to you? Because you haven't seen it. I'm just going to explain
it. Tweet. I'm going to look at it, and I'm just going to laugh along with you.
No. Before you look at it.
I won't.
Mel Tucker decides, here's where I'm going to interject myself into all of the coronavirus stuff, okay? I'm going to have my back to the camera. It's going to be a photo of me looking at three screens simultaneously with my dog next to me. And then the tweet is going to be watching film with King Julian and thinking about our team. Stay positive, stay safe, stay focused. Keep washing hands emoji. Keep distancing guy walking emoji. Hashtag go green. Hashtag relentless.
Oh my God. Oh, this is great. I'm looking at it now. First of all, that dog looks so sad.
He's a good boy. He's not sad.
Oh, he is a good boy. But okay, a couple things here. The use of emojis is incredible.
That's what I mean.
And also, I really respect the fact that he blurred out the tape on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's
really blurred the great. Tape out.
Blurred not the sure tape
out. Why?
No idea. He's still using old milk cartons underneath his desk, which I can appreciate. I'm pretty sure he's working on a pop-up picnic table.
He is.
Wow. Oh, man.
This dude.
He got some hand sanitizer.
First of all, the dude had no time to set up an office, had to see the tape. Just a football guy.
I need three screens, and I need them now.
Exactly. I got to grind the tape.
He's fantastic. I'm already a big fan. All right. So thus concludes an appropriately weird edition of the Only Podcast. Again, guys, don't worry. We're going to get through this. We're not going to go anywhere. Still probably be doing this once a week for the foreseeable future, with hopefully a few exceptions. I mean, John, you got any parting thoughts?
I would say that I'm super pumped to watch these games with people live. I think that's going to be pretty cool. The format we're going to try and find is literally pretend like we're like a video game stream. You know, we'll be playing the YouTube video on our screen and just be talking over it. And ideally, you guys will be able to like enter and chat with us while it's happening. And then afterward, we'll just post the video. So it's not quite a podcast, but you could listen to it like a podcast, I guess. It's going to be a little different, but we'll give it a shot. Let us know what you think, and we'll adjust.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. All right, guys. Well, for John, this has been Austin. Stay safe. Seriously, if you just don't go outside. Stay safe. Stay healthy. and join us again next week. But for John, this has been Austin, and we will catch you guys next week.
See ya.